Hi, I'm Ed Slott.
And I'm Jeff Levine.
And we're two guys who just love to talk about retirement and taxes.
Look, our mission is simple, to educate you, the saver, so that you can make better decisions, because better decisions, on the whole, lead to better outcomes.
And here's how we're going to do that. Each week, Jeff and I will debate the pros and the cons of a particular retirement strategy or topic, with the goal of helping you keep more of your hard-earned money.
At the end of each debate, there's going to be one clear winner. You, a more informed saver who can hopefully apply the merits of each side of the debate to your own personal situation to decide what's best for you and your family.
So here we go. Welcome to the Great Retirement Debate. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Great Retirement Debate. I'm here with Jeff Levine. Jeff, what do we have for today's episode?
It's good to be back with you, Ed. All right, today we're gonna debate an interesting one. We've got an interesting question for today. Are there certain investments, or should I always or should I never hold certain investments within my IRA? In other words, is there always something you want to have, or is there never something that you should have?
Let me stop you right there. Okay. Do you remember back in school?
I try to forget it, but go ahead.
Whenever you had a true and false test, mm-hmm. you could almost always bet that any choice that had the word always or never was false.
Yes. There's almost always an exception. That's fair. So maybe a little hint to give away where we might be going later. But, you know, Ed, before we get into the should, right, which is really the focus, the main focus for today, let's talk about what you can own inside an IRA or Roth IRA. Because while a lot of people have stocks and bonds and mutual funds and ETFs and things like that, what you might call more traditional investments inside an IRA or Roth, the tax code is actually not that limiting. In fact, you might say the other way. The tax code is actually really expansive in terms of what you can hold. There are very few things you're not allowed to hold inside an IRA or Roth IRA.
Right. The tax law actually says you can put anything you want into an IRA. Except these things.
Yeah. So let's talk about those things. Really, three things come to mind, right? You've got life insurance. That's the big one. You can't hold life insurance inside an IRA or a Roth IRA. And by the way, when we say IRA, we're really covering both of them. We're just not going to say IRA
except
and Roth.
Except for certain investments may do better in one than the other when we get to them.
Yep. That's fair. But in terms of what you can have, right?
Right.
Life insurance is out for IRA or for Roth IRA. Though, interestingly enough, if you have a plan, you are allowed to hold it. Not a lot of plans offer it for a variety of reasons, but you technically could hold it inside a 401k, but you cannot hold life insurance inside an IRA or Roth IRA. And the other one, of course, Ed, is collectibles, right? So what are some examples of collectibles that someone might not be able to have?
Well, the coins, artwork, stamps, liquor, believe it or not, is on that list.
That's no holding booze inside your IRA.
It's true.
All right. And then we have one more on the list of IRA and Roth IRA no-nos, which actually isn't even an IRA or Roth IRA rule, and that's stock of an S corporation.
Right.
And that has nothing to do really with an IRA or Roth IRA rule. It has to do with the S corporation rules. The S corporation rules don't allow an IRA or Roth IRA to be an owner. So the moment an IRA or Roth IRA become an owner, it's no longer an S corporation because it's an ineligible owner. You spent on that ineligible asset is a taxable event for you.
You know, there's a new twist on these things now. You may have seen, last year, I think, there was a ruling on NFTs, non-fungible mm-hmm. tokens.
That was very good. I'm impressed that you knew that.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan, but some people call them other things, but... you could get one of these tokens that is attributable to, say, an interest in artwork or some mm-hmm. prohibited investment, and that would be the same thing. With that, it's actually more dangerous because you're taxed on the value of what you paid for it.
That's right.
So if you paid for one of those flash cards or something or a piece of art and it turns out it's worthless, you paid $200,000 in your IRA, you're taxed on $200,000, even if the value turns out to be zero.
That's right. Yep.
So that's just another twist. But other than that, let's get back. Everything else, the universe.
That's right. I mean, we've seen proposals recently. Just a few years ago, there was proposals to eliminate certain private investments within IRA.
Right.
None of that happened. So unless we're talking about life insurance collectibles or S corporation, you can hold it. All right. So with that said, let's get back to the questions of should I make sure that I always or should I make sure that I never hold certain investments within an IRA or Roth IRA? What say you?
Well, it depends on the investment. Now, we're not talking about Well, in some cases, we may be talking about the traditional stocks, bonds, and funds. Mm-hmm. But what about alternative investments? One that comes up all the time is real estate.
Yep.
People with IRA money, maybe they don't have money anywhere else, but they know they're construction people. They know real estate as an investment, not for personal use. That's self-dealing. That wipes out your IRA. That's prohibited.
That's even worse than a prohibited investment. That's like a prohibited investment on steroids.
Yeah, prohibited transaction. Lose the disqualifies the IRA. But let's say a legitimate investment, apartment building, some real estate. And people like to do that in their IRAs. I wouldn't do that in an IRA because, believe it or not, the tax benefits are better outside of the IRA. You have capital gains, step up in basis, you have depreciation write-offs.
Yep.
But with a Roth IRA, maybe it's not too bad because you put it in there and all the appreciation is tax-free forever.
Yeah, I think you just hit on a really important point, which is that certain accounts have different tax treatment to them, like an IRA and a Roth IRA. But certain investments also have different tax treatments. But those different tax treatments only happen when you use taxable dollars to invest them, right?
Right.
So, for instance, when you take money out of an IRA, Ed, it doesn't matter whether you earned money via a capital gain or whether you earned money via dividend or whether you earned money via interest. It doesn't matter. It's ordinary income as it comes out of an IRA because the IRA wrapper dictates the tax treatment.
Right. So go back to my real estate example, where outside the IRA, you have got all these tax deductions and benefits and a big capital gain or even step up in basis, capital gain rates. If that happened, even if you did well, to your point, in a traditional IRA, what would have been a much lower tax or more favorably taxed between capital gains, step up in basis at death, all ordinary income out of an IRA.
Yep, yep. And even if you do it inside a Roth IRA, you're still giving up benefits like depreciation. There's also right now, at least for the time being, a QBI deduction if you have profitable. So I think the key here, and I guess, you know, Ed, again, you kind of alluded to this earlier, always and never are harsh words.
But in a Roth IRA, on that real estate still, there's no up.
That's right. You at least have the tax-free appreciation.
Yeah, the upside is unlimited.
Yeah. So when I look at always or never, I don't like to use those unless it's a prohibited investment. Then you should never do it, right? But other than that, I would say there are things you should shy away from or prioritize differently. A good one example would be recently I was asked a question like, can my IRA own Section 1202 stock?
Okay.
Qualified small business stock. And right now, under the tax law, small business stock that's meets certain requirements under Section 1202, it has to be a C corporation. The person has to hold it for 5 years. But if you meet certain requirements, then you can get the greater of $10 million or 10 times your investment tax-free in terms of return. So let's just say you bought a stock of this special type of business for $1.5 million with non-IRA money.
Oh, okay. I thought when you started, you went with IRA money.
Well, we're going to get there, right? If you go, let's say you did it with non-IRA money, the $1.5 million becomes effectively, you could sell it with $15 million of gain and pay no tax. Again, you have to meet holding period requirements, et cetera. But if you hold that same stock inside a traditional IRA, can you? Sure, you can. It's a C corporation.
Right.
It's not one of those three things. It's not S corp, it's not a collectible, and it's not life insurance. So can you? Yes. Should you? Well, again, if you do, the IRA shell is what supersedes the tax treatment of that qualified small business stock. So it's no longer a tax-free gain.
Right. So the test is really if the tax benefits are better outside of the IRA versus inside.
Yeah. And why I would still say I wouldn't use the word always or never is, look, if you thought you knew of an investment in this up-and-coming company, let's say your neighbor comes to you and says, hey, I've
and is your neighbor's name Peter Thiel?
Yes, that's right. Your neighbor's name is Peter Thiel, right? He says, I got this cool thing. It's called PayPal.
Yeah.
But if someone comes to you like that and says, I want you to invest, and let's say it happens to be qualified small business stock, but your only money is in your IRA. You've never been able to accumulate enough money. Well, I'm not going to say that you shouldn't do this investment if the investment itself is so good. You can't let the tax tail wag the investment dog. But the question becomes, is there other monies that you can prioritize? And I think that's really what we get to, right? Is not so much the question of asset allocation, like what investments should you own, but then the question of asset location, which is if you have different types of money, right? A Roth IRA, a traditional IRA, and money in a taxable account, which of your investments that you want to own because you like the investments do you own in the different types of accounts?
Right. Now, the Roth IRA obviously is the best place because unlimited appreciation, all tax-free. But that's why I alluded to Peter Thiel before, because he has, I think, $6 billion in a Roth IRA, all legit. Tax law tried to make it illegit.
Yeah, that's right. It wasn't. Not everybody agreed with that, but ultimately he won. No. He has a lot of money. He can afford good attorneys.
Yeah, yeah. It's totally legit, even whatever people say. All of that is tax-free in his Roth IRA on roughly, if you really want to hurt about this, what I'm saying, he has, last count, $6 billion in his Roth IRA. The initial investment, do you remember what the initial investment was?
I believe it was $2,000.
Right? I think it was $1,700, something like that.
It was when the limit to make the contribution was $2,000.
Right. All right. But so obviously what we learned from that, besides, you know, you'd like to be like him, anything you think has high appreciation, that's what you want in a Roth. But if you lose money, the government doesn't share your pain where it does in an IRA.
Yeah, not only in an IRA, but also even in a taxable account, right? Because you could have a capital loss, et cetera. So, you know, if you're a long-term investor, you don't worry about the short-term ups and downs. You look and you say, what's the thing I believe will appreciate the most over time? And actually, the ideal investment for a Roth IRA from, again, not saying you want to go out and buy this investment, but if you have these types of investments already as part of what you own, you want to locate things that are highly likely to appreciate over time and are tax inefficient, right? Things that would otherwise generate a lot of taxable income, whether it be through capital gains or through distributions of income. If it's inefficient, it benefits from the tax-deferred wrapper of the Roth, right? The tax deferral that both IRAs and Roth IRAs share in common. And if it's an asset that will go up in value over time, then it benefits from the tax-free appreciation. So that's kind of what you would prioritize within the Roth. Then with your taxable assets, really the question is, what's the thing that's going to lose the least amount of money to taxes, right? Like which of your investments as it grows will lose the least amount of its profits to taxes? And that could be because, like you said, with respect to real estate, there's depreciation.
Right.
Could also be, you know, not too long ago, I know right now inflation is a hot topic. As we sit here today, you can go to a bank and earn 5% on a CD or a money market account in some cases. But not too long ago, that wasn't the case. And money markets and other fixed income instruments paid almost zero. Well, if you're making 0%, it doesn't really matter what your tax rate is, right?
You know, during that time, I went to a bank and only because I had to know. I got the, I won't say the name of the bank, but one by me, one of the biggest banks, and they said, they sent a flyer and the bank was across the street, we'll pay 10 times the interest. And it didn't even come to 1%.
Yeah, 10 times zero is still zero.
I went into the bank. I want this 10 times deal. What is that?
That's really, I think, what it comes down to. The should I always or should I never? You know, and it wasn't too long ago that some people would say you should never hold an annuity inside an IRA or Roth IRA.
I hear that all the
time.
But that's not why you're holding it. You're holding it for the guaranteed benefit, the guaranteed income. I have annuities in my own Roth IRA because the only thing better to me than guaranteed income for life is guaranteed tax-free income for life, which is what I have in my Roth IRA.
So as we wrap up here today and we think about this question.
I want to make one point before we wrap up, because we've been talking about buying this and that in your Roth IRA.
Yep.
The funds have to be in your Roth IRA. You just can't transfer assets into your IRA or Roth IRA. We're talking about using already existing funds in your Roth IRA.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, I look at it that we all have two pies. Everyone thinks about their asset allocation pie. You know, how much of my circle, how much of it is stocks, how much of it is bonds, how much of it is real estate, how much of it is cash. But we also have a second pie, our tax pie, right? And that, how much of your assets are in tax-free assets like Roth IRAs and Roth 401ks? How much are in tax-deferred assets like a traditional IRA or a traditional 401k? And how much are in taxable accounts like a joint account or a revocable trust account? And the question then really becomes, how do you almost superimpose those those pies upon one another so that you make the most tax-efficient choices you can, right? It's not picking your investments based on the type of account. It's saying, I have these accounts, and these are the investments I like. How do I overlay them upon
where do
one
I locate
another?
Them,
that's right. Where do I locate
And it goes
them?
Back to the point I think we both made. The big point is, where can I get the best tax benefits?
Mm-hmm. Thinking about long-term. Look, ultimately, it's not about how much you have. It's about how much you keep. And that means the least we give, the less we give to Uncle Sam in the form of taxes each year, the more we can put in our pocket. So, you know, as we come to a close for today and we wrap up, Ed, I think, you know, the key thoughts are ultimately that always and never are harsh words. There really are very few things in life and in planning or in taxes where we say always or never. There's almost always exceptions to the rule. That said, there are three always. Always make sure you avoid collectibles. Always make sure you avoid life insurance. And always make sure you avoid S Corporation stock. But other than that, it comes down to what investments are right for you and then figuring out where are the most tax-efficient places to locate those.
That's right. And the point you made earlier, don't give up on something that's a good investment just because it might generate tax in an IRA.
Yep. One way to always pay no tax and the least tax is to make no income. That's another way. All right. So tell us, what do you think? Are there certain investments you think you should always or never hold in your IRA or Roth IRA? Let us know. You can reach out to us on Twitter, Ed at The Slot Report, myself at CPA Planner, and we look forward to seeing you on the next Great Retirement Debate.
Jeffrey Levine is Chief Planning Officer for Buckingham Wealth Partners. This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be construed as specific investment, accounting, legal, or tax advice. Certain information mentioned may be based on third-party information which may become outdated or otherwise superseded without notice. Third-party information is deemed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. The topic discussed in corresponding arguments are those of the speakers and may not accurately reflect those of Buckingham Wealth Partners.